Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of The Numbers Game. This is the show where we talk about the numbers that everyone pretends to ignore. I'm Colin Gray, and I'm joined, as always, by Matthew.
Yeah, this new camera angle, for anyone watching, I feel like I'm caught in the middle
here. Is this not convenient
look straight out the window at nothing?
I would say, don't worry about the camera. Pretend the camera's not here. We're having a natural conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Here I am. Starving. It's a bit later than we usually record.
Yeah, I've held you off for ages. One little quick tech tip for everybody. I was going to record earlier on, but of course the camera battery hadn't been charged from last week. My fault. So I had to put that on for half an hour and then, wait for that to be ready. So now Matthew's stomach's going to be rumbling the whole way through.
Yeah.
You can't eat before.
It's a bit of ambience for the episode.
Indeed. Okay, well, this episode, we're on to episode number 6 of The Numbers Game. And this time around, we're through to the story. So we're on to our weekly format now. So I'm pretty excited about this, actually. I've been looking forward to getting towards our normal weekly format where we just update people on everything that's happened in the last, well, not everything. We're going to choose one or two things, the big stuff that's happened in the last week, and then go over the lessons of that, and then on to the standard data and experiments reporting from there on. So that's us on to the normal format now. As always, you can find the show notes at numbersgame.me/ what's this, episode 6? 006. So numbersgame.me/006. You'll find the show notes there. You can tell I'm putting on two zeros that start with the optimistic hope that this will be up at 100 at some point.
What about the four figures, eh?
That's true. Well, I'll add one on then. That's fine. Couldn't worry about that in how many years? That would be 20 years for being weekly. Oh, so yeah, we'll be all right.
Got to play the long game.
Okay, so let's get to the bulk of the show. First up, we have the story of the last week at the podcast host. So I thought we talked about the fact we'll do something related to a big task you're working on right now, isn't it? Which is a new podcast we're working on.
Yeah, I've always been a bit of a space nerd. I know it's a passion of yours as well, isn't it? You've got an astrophysics degree, apparently.
Not something I've used exactly a whole lot since I got it, but it does exist. Yes.
Yeah, it's there. And it was just an idea I came up with because... listeners might know I've got a bit of an audio drama background. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about creating highly produced soundscapes, mm-hmm. Painting pictures in listeners' heads with ambience, sound effects and music. And also being, we're thinking here about a show we could make that could be really, really good, a flagship example of what we could do and something that we really enjoy as well. And it was, how you get ideas a lot for podcasts, and what I've learned with experience is that when you come up with an idea, just think about it for a week or two and make sure that you're still excited about it in a couple of weeks, rather than in the past I might have went and registered the domain name and everything, made the Twitter coming soon and all this. So the idea for the podcast was let's explore not just space, although I want to explore different planets in the solar system and beyond, but also places on Earth that humans aren't really welcome. We might go down a volcano or under the polar ice caps and take the listener on a tour of these places, interview people that obviously have the knowledge required to describe and come up with some sort of fun and interesting facts. And I thought a good place to start was Saturn's biggest moon, which is called Titan. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere I've been pretty fascinated with for years now. And it's at time of recording, the Cassini satellite, which is up there, is about to do its last flyby. Yeah, yeah. So it's over the past 10 years, it's been sending these pictures back. And it's a very fascinating world for a number of reasons. So I thought, let's kick off the podcast and do a couple episodes about this place. And then we're kind of thinking about, so who am I actually going to interview here?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I've... before we go into that bit, I just want to, because there's a couple of good things here, and you do have some cool news, which is, we'll get to. But related to the whole content marketing piece, I suppose, the audience growth, all that kind of stuff, this has kind of come about because we've got a goal this year to create a show which is 10,000 listeners, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Create one new show at 10,000 listener level, which, as you know out there, is a really good aim to get to as a podcaster. It's not the biggest in the world. I mean, we could be aiming much higher than that, but that's a good first step for us within a year, I think, for a new show. And this is one that I think, because we're moving out of just content. I mean, this show, actually, the numbers game, we're hoping we'll could achieve that, but this is much more wide-ranging, isn't it? So we're kind of looking at a topic which could interest, you know, massive amounts of people as opposed to just a niche working area or whatever. How long had that idea been bumping around in your head before you, because you've been talking about a sort of that kind of podcast for a long time, I think.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks before I told you about it, and coincidentally my wife and I, we went down to, she got me for my birthday a ticket to the Kildare Observatory down in Northumberland, most rural place in England, the darkest place, I guess. And it was really cloudy and we didn't actually see anything, but they prepare for that. It's Britain, so they've got great speakers there, all sorts of things. I'm probably one of the few people on Earth to have held a bit of Mars and a bit of the moon at the same time.
Oh, cool. Okay.
They were passing them about and they both came to me at once. Like, here's Mars, here's the moon, which pleased me.
That's cool.
So I guess that wee experience further reinforced in my mind that I would really like to do this. It's a subject I never tire of. The universe, it's infinite, there's infinite possibilities out there. So
getting to this week then, how in the last week you've started to contact people for interviews. We'll go into the format as well, because I think the format's a really interesting thing to cover, because it's something that I think makes it quite unique but ties together a bunch of our kind of disparate skills. But we are doing some interviews on it, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. And when you know, I needed experts that could tell me vastly more info than I have, or could just find on Wikipedia or whatever. So you're straight away, you're looking at local science centres and things like that. Looking for bloggers, you know, all great people to speak to. But I got a wee bit frustrated. I was impatient. You know, you want replies straight away and no replies were coming in. And I'm saying to Colin, you know, I'm a wee bit frustrated sort of thing. So I said, why don't I just get in touch with NASA? Half jokingly. And then we're sort of saying to each other, like, well, why not? I mean, surely lots of people get in touch with NASA. So went on their website and sure enough, they've got a media guy. Emailed him. Again, you know, didn't really expect to hear anything back, but he got back to me the very next day and said, could I see a treatment for your show? Now, a treatment, for those who don't know, it's like your pitch, and it's something that we did a lot when I was in college and university studying sound and radio. So it's basically like, it's like you would do when you're starting a podcast, identifying your target audience, you know, where it's going to be played, how it's going to be played, all these sort of details. So that was actually a really positive exercise, was to go away and create a treatment, even in the knowledge that, you know, if nothing more comes of it with NASA, I've still gone through that exercise and it's sort of reinforced all the ideas in my head about this show.
Yeah, we always talk about the fact that planning is something that people often miss, but it's even if it's just reiterating what you think you know, it's strengthening what you think you know, and it's just like refining it a wee bit at a time.
I mean, it can feel unnecessary and over the top if nobody's asked for it.
Yeah,
but that did this treatment and sent it back to the guy at NASA, and I think it was the next day I woke up and I don't check my emails in the morning before I come to work, but this morning I was like, I just want to see if they've replied. And there had been an email from them at like 10 at night our time saying, we've put this forward for review. And then a few hours later he got back and he was like, yeah, we're in, we're happy to chat to you. And I was like, I can't believe that.
All these local folk that are like, nobody's, well, that's not fair. I hope they're not listening. But yeah, they're taking weeks to get back to you or not replying at all. And then NASA, two emails in 2 days.
Yeah, I know. So
I suppose that's why they got to the moon, isn't it? They get stuff done.
Shock horror, they are a well-organised organisation. So And the good thing about, I guess, you know, the lesson is if you're looking for interviewees for a show and you go in at the top, you've got the ability then to go to other people. Not only do I now have this treatment in place, which I could just send to people. So like you said to me, it makes your email, your first email, it's not very intimidating. It's just a couple of sentences.
Whereas if
this unsolicited email turns up and it's just screeds the text, that's maybe why people don't reply quickly, because they've...
Too much to read.
But I could go to people now and say, look, I'm doing this, and NASA are involved. And when you say that, very few people are going to say, I've no time for this.
Sudden credibility, absolutely. Yeah, it's really good. So yeah, the format, you're going to interview a couple of local people who are actually, I was only joking earlier, they are really good. some really good local people. And not so local, there are others in the UK as well. It's just two up this way.
We're talking to a couple of people just now, somebody from the observatory that I talked about. As it happens,
so that
he
is down south.
It's just over the border, but he was at St Andrews, which is close to us, which led me to approach the university at St Andrews as well. It's so close to here. They've got a astronomy department and society, so they are currently reviewing the pitch. So I haven't heard, they might still turn around and say no, but you know.
By the way, so we've got a few interviewees, but I think the format is interesting because it ties together. Like we can create good documentary, factual, educational podcasts, but there's loads of them out there, isn't there? Whereas there's another unique angle that we could take that combines your other skill, which is audio drama, of course. Tell me what you're thinking about that. And I think it's just a really interesting way that we're combining two quite disparate skills to make something suddenly quite unique that could be just run of the mill otherwise.
I created an audio drama set on Titan a couple of years ago, and so that is probably my finest like single piece. It gets a lot of feedback to this day, and people say, you know, I close my eyes and I feel like I'm there, and it's just so visual, the soundscape, which was what I was trying to achieve. So it's like you say, there's a lot of great informative documentaries out there, but we're working in audio. Let's try and make the listener feel like they're there. And when we talk about these places, what can we do with the soundscape, with the music, with the sound effects to make them imagine that they're there? So we're talking about combining semi-scripted fictional elements as if we're taking them on a journey to this place, and then we'll bring in the expert interviewees to fill in the gaps. But you know, have a bit of fun with it as well, and manage to script it so that it's not an audio drama, but there'll be audio drama elements in there.
Yeah, totally.
So you're getting this sort of best of both worlds.
Yeah.
A lot of people still don't listen to fiction for some reason. They just, they're not interested in it. But maybe combining the two here will win us over listeners from both camps that maybe don't usually cross over.
I think it'll make for a really interesting show, because it'll be educational. We'll be teaching people all about Titan, but there'll be the entertaining, the kind of the fun storytelling bits, which are the astronauts, or however we end up going with it. Say it's astronauts actually exploring the place, like your Kraken Mare show was, and just tying that in. I think it could be really cool. It's just, I think it's something that a lot of people forget, is that you can tie together really disparate areas of skills to make something quite unique overall. So
that's
cool. Okay, I think that ties us up for the story for this week, but that's cool. I think that's it's something we're going to be working on a lot over the next few months, hopefully getting out. Well, I don't know, we've not set any kind of time scales yet, but yeah, definitely we'll update you in the next few months about how that's getting on. We'll see. Hopefully see the progress of a brand new show that's going to hit 10,000 listeners and above.
Yeah, maybe getting you noteworthy.
Indeed. Oh, that'd be good. Joking, by the way. Okay, yeah, on to the next section. Alrighty, time for another stats update. Another bit of giving away all of the numbers behind our business. And this time around, it's email. So this week, we're reporting back on our progress with our email marketing. Again, if you haven't listened to the show before, every week we check in on a certain type of stat, a certain key performance indicator or KPI. as the acronym goes, which tells us how the business is doing, really. And it's kind of, it's for a couple of reasons, to give you some benchmarks to see how you're doing in the world, whether you're beating us by miles or whether you're a wee bit behind. And also to give us a bit of accountability in improving these things. And it ties into the experiments as well, because obviously we're doing a lot of experiments. That's part of what this show's about, and improving our data too. So email for the last month, a fair bit to report actually. We talked on a couple of shows ago about changing to or changing away from SumoMe, possibly because of all the issues that I had with their update. And I found one called Bloom, which is with our Elegant Themes subscription. So I changed over to that. It's not the best in the world, I have to admit. It's good. It does the job, but it doesn't have quite as many options, not quite as flexible. But it is quite good as a starter. It's definitely, I mean, SumoMe is not cheap, $20 a month, whereas Bloom you get free for a with all the themes that come with Elegant Themes. So if you subscribe to it already, like we do, because we use Divi, we use Extra, those themes, then it's a pretty good deal. But anyway, saying the fact that I don't think the options are as good, the opt-ins have been massively increased. So we got 33 people on the email list yesterday.
There you go, that's a decent
which is way more than normal. In the last week since changing, we're up to 16 a day onto the mailing list. So 16 people per day on average every day off around 2,000 to 2,500 sessions per day. So that's how many people we're getting, 2,000 to 2,500 people, or sessions I should say, per day. And of them, we're getting about 16 average turning into email subscribers. So that's us up to 3,740 subscribers right now. Before that, so just to give you an idea, before we changed to Bloom, we were on probably just under 10, so 9 or 10 on average in the few months before that. So per day, that was at around 2,000 level as well. So it was about 2,000, 2,100 per day in terms of sessions, and that would get us about 10 subscribers per day. Now, to give you an idea on the emails themselves, so our broadcasts, they're doing pretty well these days, actually. We've got the podcast pointers newsletter that goes out every week. And I've done pretty well with that, actually. We've got it out every week apart from three. So over 12 weeks, we've missed three. So a quarter. Actually, that's not that good, is it? It was when I was in social media marketing world. I was in San Diego for 2 weeks. So I missed a couple of weeks, I have to admit. But they're doing pretty well. In March, they got 31% open rate, which is okay. Click rate, 3.2%. And that's definitely climbing. The click rates have been climbing steadily over the last few months, which is quite cool. I think that just shows that when you're starting to get stuff out really regularly, people get used to clicking on it, get used to taking action on it. So it's pretty encouraging. That's 171 clicks in total. So decent number of clicks through. That's like, close to 200 clicks off 3,600 or so subscribers around that time. And we're getting an average of about 15 people unsubscribing on every email as well. So that's the first update in email. So obviously for next month, when I report back on our email progress, we'll be talking about some experiments we've done, how it's changed since then and why we think it has. So give you an idea of what you can maybe do to improve your own email opt-in rates. But yeah, pretty pleased with that. Subscriptions are up, engagement's up. So we'll try and keep that up a little bit. Get you more involved in the emails as well. I need to get you writing a couple of them so you can do some of the newsletters, get your voice into them too.
I'll pull the numbers in.
Indeed.
Bloom, is that Orlando's new startup? Got into entrepreneurism?
He's joined Elegant Themes, given that he's so damned elegant in as an elf in Lord of the Rings.
A wood elf, I think indeed. He was.
Very elegant. All right, that's enough for the data this week. That's the update for March 2017. So what about the lessons this week, Matthew? What we got from the story? Got a couple of things, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, always email NASA, regardless of your issue, regardless of what you're looking for.
They just get back to you so damn quick that it's worth emailing them about anything.
Yeah, I'm just asking them all sorts of life advice. But it's a funny one, I suppose, because on one hand, you say to people, like, if you're just starting a podcast, especially if you're new to it, don't just, like, interview your heroes as your first three episodes.
Yeah.
So I would say, not blow my own trumpet or that, but if you're an experienced enough podcaster that you know, and I'm tempting the gods with fate here, that you could actually go and record the interview and not make a mess of it. Yes. So that's going to happen now.
Yeah.
But then, if you're starting a new show, definitely do, like, aim quite high. But
So what the principle there is that if you're starting a new interview show, a lot of people will claim that you shouldn't go in at the top, you shouldn't start off with really good people, because in the first 10 episodes of you interviewing somebody, of you interviewing people, your skills aren't going to be up there, are they? You're not going to get the best from them. You should be practicing learning your trade before you get the top people. But then you've got the chicken and the egg scenario, whereby, you know, getting the big people in early can grow your numbers, can you know, get a lot of visibility, basically get some really good content. So, but yeah, so you would say if you are brand new, maybe don't email NASA.
start off.
So you're going on you're already an experienced interviewer.
Yeah. Like, I should be fine.
You will be fine. Yeah. You will be fine. But yeah, I mean, it's around the fact that even at this stage, we could have said, right, we're not going to email. Why would we email NASA? They're a huge corporate, they're a huge organization. Like, why would they get back to us? Why would they be interested in contributing to our show? But turns out
they were. I think that's a great euphemism as well. Email NASA. It could mean anything but literally email NASA.
So yeah, it's worth aiming high. Have some backups, obviously, because it's not going to turn out so well every single time. But yeah, definitely try and aim high with at least one or two of your options in the early days, as long as you know you can deliver on it. I think there was another lesson in there as well, which I think is around skills. So, like, I think you could create a really good informational documentary type podcast around Titan. So you could create a good show around that with your interviewing skills, with your production skills, storytelling skills, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
I'd hope so.
You could also create a really good audio drama. In fact, you have created a really good audio drama based on this.
Is
Kraken Mare on Titan?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, so okay. So you have done both of those.
I've already been there.
But both of those aren't hugely unique, are they? Because there are documentaries out there on space that would be a similar type of format. There are audio dramas out there, probably not about Kraken Mare, but there's audio dramas out there in a sci-fi vein, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get a unique element to them. But combine two skills which are very different. You've got factual audio production, and you've got writing a story and creating a fiction piece of, you know, writing or audio, whatever it is. They're two very different skills, but you can combine them because you have both. So I think there's a lot of people out there will have areas of their life which they think are completely unrelated that they can combine to create something really unique, create something really great. And I mean, thinking about this in my own life, I've got a bunch of stuff. We've got obviously the podcasting side of things, but then I've got a big background in education as well. And I think that's one of the things that makes our courses, or I try and help it make our courses stand out at the podcast host, because I've got a huge background in research and all that kind of stuff and how to make great courses. So combining those two things. And I mean, even with the mountain biking podcast that we run, we barely try that. I barely try promoting that, barely try doing anything particular with that. But because I really like, that's one of my big passions, but I also happen to do podcasting for a job. The mountain biking podcast that we run, Mountain Bikes Apart, actually does really well without trying at all, because it's a cut above the rest, just because of the skills brought into a different area, I suppose. Does that make sense?
So what you're saying is bring in the Venn diagram? Is that what they
call
them?
That's the way. Yeah.
Do a Venn diagram.
Yes.
Here's my two completely unrelated skills. Yeah. Here's the wee bit in the middle.
Yeah.
What could possibly happen? And you might come up with something.
Yeah, exactly. They say that that's the definition of creativity, actually, in some places. I've read a book about that, where you are able to combine completely disparate ideas, completely disparate, you know, niches, sectors, industries, bring an idea from one industry into another industry, and that's you suddenly being creative, even though you're just copying. You're copying something they do in a different industry, bringing it to yours, but it's creative because you're having to think a little bit different about how it can apply to your own. So, yeah, worthwhile thinking about that. See if there's two different things in your life that you can bring together, create something really unique that can have a really unique selling point that brings on an audience to you. So that's our lessons for this week. Hope they are useful. We'll try and get some more from the next story next week. Well, this week we are on to a new experiment, because last time around we finished up on the email opt-ins work that we'd been working on for the first 5 weeks. First 5 weeks of the numbers game. I hope you found that useful. I hope it was interesting. I'm really looking forward to getting some feedback from people on this experiment type format, see if it's actually something that you follow along with, or whether it's just something that follow along with as in actually taking action and doing the same thing with us, using the actions that we'll give you. I'm going to give you actions again, homework again at the end of this episode. So I'm curious to know whether you're actually doing them or whether it's just something interesting to listen along with the thought that you might do in future or anything like that. So do get in touch. Let me know. You can tweet me at the podcast host. You can tweet Matthew at Podhost Matthew.
Podhost
is that right?
Matthew, that's the Podhost one. Podhost Matthew. Logged in the other day, I had 75 notifications.
Nice. cool. Did you actually reply to any of them? Or you
yeah,
social?
I think I did.
Okay, maybe fair enough. But or you can email in. I'd love to get some emails as well at info@thepodcasthost.com. Let us know what you think of this. So on to a new experiment now. Let's try and run something new. And it's vaguely related. And this came out because I was having a wee interaction with a guy I follow, really look up to on Twitter called Paul Boag. So he runs a creative, well, he used to run a creative agency and now runs his own little business whereby he does UX, UI. He basically teaches people how to create great websites and make sure that they cater to the users that you have. And one of his questions was around pop-ups. So it was around whether pop-ups ruin the user experience for people. And it's a controversial one, isn't it? A lot of people think that pop-ups are the spawn of the devil. You don't want things like that popping up and annoying your users. And I got back to him and asked whether he knows of any concrete data around this, whether, you know, there's any research out there that shows actually that pop-ups do send people away. They stop people looking at the rest of your site, because I'm skeptical. I'm not sure. A pop-up has never really bothered me. I always just go, oh, click the close button and keep reading. It doesn't affect my experience for a website. What about you?
One pop-up is fine if they put any more up than that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, I was on a site this morning, it's like one of these sites, it's like the top 20 something, but they make you scroll through it instead of just listening.
Oh, really?
And with each one, it's like a new pop-up. And
pop-ups
on phones as well could be quite invasive and hard to close.
But. Yeah, so a couple of good points there. For a start, mobile, you can get penalised by Google for having pop-ups on mobiles these days. So definitely don't want to have a pop-up on the mobile version of your site. So yeah, but you can turn them off with most pop-up creation, like SumoMe that we've been talking about. In fact, Bloom, the new one we're using just now, both of them allow you to say no pop-ups on mobile. And yeah, it has to be a pop-up which says one thing. If the person wants rid of it, it does not appear again, doesn't it?
So
absolutely. I mean, there's good pop-ups and bad pop-ups, or there's bad pop-ups and even worse pop-ups for some people. But anyway, I wanted to test this because we can test this. We get like 2,000 people on our site every single day. So if we run a test over the next month around this, we can get a load of impressions. We can test the engagement metrics and we can see whether pop-ups actually engage it. So here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to run for 2 weeks with the normal pop-ups, having them appear at a certain time, try and keep it pretty regular, so it's quite testable. And then for the next 2 weeks, we're going to run with no pop-ups at all on the site. And I'm going to compare those two-week intervals, so those two fortnights. And I'm going to measure the sort of a few good engagement metrics on Google Analytics. And this is stuff you should be looking at anyway, these engagement metrics, but I'm going to use them to try and test whether pop-ups affect how people engage with your site. So the hypothesis is that if you add a pop-up to a site, people are less engaged because they go, ah, pop-up, I hate this site. I'm either going to leave straight away or it just gives you a negative impression of the site. So that's what we're going to test. That's the hypothesis. So the engagement metrics we're going to look at are pages per session. So that's how many pages, you know, each visit to the site generates. So a person visits your site, how many pages are they going to look at? Is it just one or are they going to click through to one or more? Average right now on our site is 1.44. We're also going to look at time per session. So that's how long somebody, so even if they only look at one page, how long do they spend on the site? If they look at three pages, are they spending ages on those pages? Or are they actually just flicking through really quickly and then disappearing within 30 seconds? Right now, that's an average of 1.41 on our site. Now, just to give you a qualifier, again, we're giving away our stats benchmark for you, testing for us. Our pages per session, time per session, bounce rate, I'm going to come on to bounce rate, are actually quite low compared to industry standards because our site is magazine style and a big part of our income comes from affiliate income. So actually a lot of people come, they read a best of article or a roundup article, and then they disappear because they go and buy what they've been recommended. So they only need one article to answer their question. So actually, in our case, our engagement metrics are lower than normal because one of our aims is to get people to leave our site so that we get a commission on their purchase with Amazon or with anyone else. So that's why they're probably a bit lower. And it's hard to find averages actually on these things. There's not a lot out there. One, maybe an SEO gap here for somebody that wants to write a best page per session or average page per session or a good time per session, whatever it is. But the best I could find was an industry view of maybe 2 pages per session is good to aim for, a 50% bounce rate, and 2 to 3 minutes per session time-wise. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at bounce rate as well. So bounce rate is currently 75% on our site. And again, that's on the low end, but probably because of the nature of our site, really. Now, page depth is an interesting one. We're going to look at page depth as well. That is how many people fall into certain page views. And we've got 80% of our viewers look at only one page on the site. So that seems quite low. 11% look at two, and the last 9% will look at more than that. So we'll compare that back as well. So they're the engagement metrics we're going to look at. Like I said, I'm going to run it for 2 weeks with pop-ups, 2 weeks without, and we'll compare the stats between. So I'll report back on that once we've finished the experiment. I think this is going to be interesting. It'll give me some data. I'm hopefully going to publish something around this because there's nothing really exists out there. Give other people an idea of really how pop-ups affect the engagement on their site. And we'll see whether we should be changing it, whether we shouldn't be running pop-ups at all. Because they definitely get us a lot more opt-ins, so it's worthwhile doing it. But possibly it's not worthwhile if the engagement metrics drop by a huge amount.
One final thought on pop-ups. Mm-hmm. I just had a thought there. I don't mind so much if it's the website's own pop-up that's relevant to their content. Mm-hmm. It's when like you get the new Ford Fiesta like popping up and you're like, I'm not in the market for a car.
So totally irrelevant. Yeah.
So yeah, there's that as well to consider. Like, is it just a blatant advert or is it actually like something that might be useful to you?
To the user. Yeah, I mean, the adverts, pop-ups, whatever it is you're promoting, they need to be relevant to the users, don't they, for a good user experience. Okay, we'll report back in the next few weeks. Well, homework time again. Do you want your homework for this week?
Yeah, give me my homework.
What you got to do? This is what you've got to do. So for this week's numbers game homework, your tasks, your actions related to the lessons. Sorry, not related to the lessons, related to the experiment that we're starting up this time around. So go back to the experiment section to check out that lot. But this is what you're going to do based on it. Get your Google Analytics out. We're going to start delving into Google Analytics a bit more. And I want you to start delving into how you can use those engagement metrics we talked about to improve your site. So those engagement metrics we're looking at during our current experiment around pop-ups versus no pop-ups are bounce rate, pages per session, time per session. And you can look at those that page depth as well, which is a really interesting one. So have a look at them, compare them to our stats. Again, I'll just repeat that. If you're watching the video, you won't have heard them so far. Our stats are 1.44 pages per session, 1 minute 41 time per session, and our bounce rate is 75. And again, I explained that, you know, one of our aims is affiliate income, and therefore one of our aims is to get people off our site. So our stats are actually on the low end of site of things, but still you can have them as a benchmark. So your task for this week is to do one thing to improve those metrics. So one thing that you can think of to make somebody just stay on your site a little bit longer, to view one more page, to just not leave, something that will entice them into doing something else on your website after they see that first thing. So they land on a page, they land on something they found through search, or they've just come to visit you for, you know, they know your URL, they know your brand. What are you going to give them so that they're doing more than just one or two things and stay on your site as long as you can? All of that obviously builds engagement with those people. They're more likely to read more stuff, more page views, and that can achieve all sorts of aims, from getting them onto your email opt-in list or maybe it's buying a product. So for example, one thing you can do, find your most popular article on the website. Find the article on your website that gets the most traffic and do one thing to improve that. And what you could do, for example, is put a few links in there, deliberately put a few links in there into that article that the link to other pages, other places on your website. So For example, we write about all sorts of equipment. So we write about mixers. We've got a best mixers roundup. So we could put in there, if we're one of the aspects of mixers is what kind of microphones it can take. So if it can take XLR, then we can say, oh, we'll go and have a look at our XLR cables article. Or if it can take, it can give phantom power to a condenser mic, we can go, oh, well, you can find out what a condenser mic is. Click this link. So make sure you're putting some links in there that try and draw people through to other articles. And I'm not talking about just a related articles link at the bottom or a next article, previous article, something that's really related that's going to give them extra value based on what they've found. So they've been searching for best mixers. Give them something that leads on to that and gives them more value. I would say put in 3 links at least, and at least one in the last paragraph. So when they've finished the article, they've got a really clear next step to take. So go away and try that this week. To find that most popular article, just in case you don't know, pop into your Google Analytics, click the behavior section, then site content, and then all pages. And that will give you a list of the most popular pages on your website. For extra credit, take the first top 3 pages and add links to all of them. It doesn't take too long to just figure out a few wee bit of cross-linking. We've been doing this a fair bit with our content refresh project, haven't we? Going back to all of our old articles and just sort of trying to interlink them a bit more.
Yeah, just keeping it relevant for people as they go through and read them.
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, you've got loads of old articles that might be really relevant to link through to newer articles that weren't written at the time, eh? So there's lots of things you can do to add lots of engagement, try and keep people on your site for longer. So that's your task for this week. Try and increase your engagement metrics and at least set a baseline by going and having a look at them right now. That ties it up for another week.
Yeah, it's lunchtime.
Lunchtime, I know. I'm getting to go and have something to eat now. I haven't heard your stomach grumble yet. It's good.
No, it's not been too bad. I think I'll take a walk around Dundee.
Yeah.
The sun's out.
Indeed.
There's always some interesting sights out in the streets of Dundee.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe I'll see that guy who was arguing with the Desperate Dan statue the other week. He had no shirt on and he was arguing with Desperate Dan.
Yeah.
Desperate Dan, very stoic, of course.
Yes.
He's a statue. He's not responding.
Yeah.
So
if you're out there and you don't have a clue what we're talking about, but Desperate Dan, Dundee is a famous comic book city. What's it? DC Thompson, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. The Beano and the Dandy.
Yeah. Beano and the Dandy are two classic Scottish comics. I think you get them all over the UK, don't you? But I doubt you get the Beano in the US, I bet.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it translates. So there's statues in the centre of town. One Desperate Dan, who's a big, massive guy. Desperate Dan's famous for having a huge, big chin.
Big cowboy.
And eating cowboy. Oh, he is. He's like an American guy, though, isn't he? He's a cowboy, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
an American pies. Dundonian.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a big statue down there. I think we've got Dennis down there somewhere, or maybe it's
Dennis the Menace.
Probably
there's Beryl the Peril with her, what do you call it, catapult.
Yeah. Those old comics, notorious bullying happened, and
I
was laughing the other week with my dad. Remember, it was a bit before my time, but Bully Beef and Chips.
Oh yeah.
And it was like a half brick off this guy's face and teeth everywhere, and it was like, ho ho ho, let's scalper. I don't know if you could laugh at that.
No.
But
no.
The Beano was the same. Dennis, he wasn't a great boy.
Oh, he's
an arse. I think he's calmed down a bit now, but...
he hasn't. Do you know what's got worse? I bought a Beano for Alistair. My son, when was that? A few weeks back. A couple of months back, even. And I was reading it. And I used to read the Beano, and you're right. The bullying was bad back then. It was him and Walter the Softy.
Walter the Softy.
Called him Walter the Softy. And they were just... Dennis the Menace, because he menaces this poor kid. And he's the cool one, but Dennis is the cool one being the bully.
Yeah.
Nowadays it's even worse, actually. They're like, it's actually really mean and quite, it's got a bit psychological bully. It used to be it was just the half brick like you're talking about, or just, you know, whack him with his with a ball or something like that.
Now it's the Facebook messages in the morning, like, you better watch tomorrow.
Not quite as bad, maybe not. It was bad. I was like, I'm not buying this again, there's no way. It's just encouraging, like, awful behaviour, being nasty to people.
He's got out of hand. He was always out of hand, just indeed. In a different way.
Yeah. Dennis the arse.
So there's your comic book news for this week.
Indeed. Okay, well, thanks for spending time with us on the Numbers Game. As usual, you can find the show notes at numbersgame.me/006. 006, referring to the episode, of course. So you can find any of our episodes at the number of the episodes, so 004, 005, and so on. We'd also like to get some feedback from you. Ask us any questions that you want to include in Further's Numbers Games. We want to get some more listener questions into further episodes, into future episodes. So let us know what you want to know around growing an audience, around running a business, around doing content, any of the things that we've been talking about so far. Tweet me at the podcast host, or Matthew at
Podhost Matthew.
And you can send us an email as well if it's something bigger, some feedback you want to send in, even an audio comment. We'd love to get some audio comments, actually, either feedback or questions as well. We could play them on the show. So send them in to info@thepodcasthost.com. And of course, iTunes reviews. If you could, obviously it's early days still. We're still trying to get the visibility up for this show. It really helps us get out more if you can review us on iTunes. Or, wait a minute, no, we've been told Apple Podcasts now, haven't we?
Apple Podcasts. Thanks to Paul, by the way. He gave us a nice 5-star review.
Oh, brilliant. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Your first.
Really?
As far as I know, I think that was a UK store.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yes, it could be some US ones we haven't checked
to
yet.
See what the Americans are up to. What are they saying about us? Maybe nothing.
Well, thanks for that, Paul. Really appreciate it. Anyone else, if you could spare just a couple of minutes, pop onto iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the heck you want to call it, and leave us a rating and a review. It helps a bunch. Okay, that'll do it for this week. Thanks again, Matthew.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your week too. Not that I'm not going to see you in 10 minutes. Yeah, I'm not sure why I'm doing
straight
that.
Away.
Thank you, and enjoy your week out there in listener land, and we'll talk to you next time.